This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Jake and Amir got some things to say. Most of it is pointless, but anyway, if you got a problem, they'll listen to you on the If I Were You show.
Kazoo.
Yeah.
Very cool.
A kazoo, which is not a real instrument.
Kazoo, that's new.
It's actually not new.
Well, I mean for us.
I see.
Yeah.
Kazoo, that's new for us.
Right.
Sure. That was written by and performed by Dan Roffey. Thanks so much for listening, everyone.
You really are sick.
I have what is self-diagnosed as minor food poisoning.
Yeah, but you're making a major deal out of it.
I am leaking shit out of my asshole right now.
It might be straight up food poisoning.
No, because this is the difference. One, there was no vomiting.
Have you ever had food poisoning?
Yeah.
Okay.
No diarrhea.
Nice.
Diarrhea.
That's a cool...
Diarrhea.
All right. Well, you don't have to harp on it, but I do like the way... That's like a PG way of saying it.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I take it. What I do have is indigestion, you know, like sharp gaseous pains.
Like
I'll eat food and then like 5 minutes later I'll hear gurgling and it feels like someone is shoving a Frisbee out of my abdomen.
Oh, man. I've ever had a stomach ache in my whole life.
Which is weird because you went through several decades of just eating garbage.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I get sick in my head, never my stomach.
Oh, interesting.
Are you farting?
Yeah, I'm farting a lot.
Are they painful farts?
No, they're great farts because the fart is the release.
I see.
Yeah.
Have you tried just doing like kind of like a yoga child's pose and letting all the farts rise to the top?
Yeah, what I'll do is I'll lay on my stomach.
Like a invention convention volcano or something?
Yeah. Well, I think it's like laying on your stomach, making your anus the tallest point of your body and let the gas just rise out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And much like a volcano, it reeks of sulfur.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And also, a lot like a volcano, my ass is just a mound of sediment.
If you're listening to this podcast and you're curious what it might look like,
yeah,
we are filming it.
Yeah. We should say that this is one of the, we're trying to film more episodes. Marissa, very talented videographer, is helping us out today. She said, you know, I'm a fan of the show. I'm interning at College Humor. Why don't I record one of
film
your podcasts?
Because there's no tape in these cameras. Is there a VHS tape in there?
There is.
Really?
Yeah.
The tiniest little
cassette.
Cool.
I don't know if this will be up because this is a bonus Thursday episode. I don't know if it'll be up. The video will be up on Thursday, but we'll put it up as soon as we get it.
Sure.
So thanks, Marissa, and thanks for watching, if you're watching. This is an advice podcast. It's not just about my indigestion. It's also
I would talk about this
show
all day, though.
Yeah, because another thing I felt was muscle aches.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like a slight fever, but that went away pretty quickly.
So now you're just left with the nausea and the indigestion.
Not even nausea.
Oh, not nausea?
Yeah, just like a rumbly in my tumbly.
And do you feel fatigued or is it really just only stomach ache?
That's it's the down symptom. To just the stomach ache part.
No. I mean, you're not even sick at this point.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
It's called If I Were You. It's an advice podcast. It's the only advice podcast on the internet hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm the Pinch. Sorry, I got to embrace it.
We are going to be answering real emails from real people. Going to give them fake names to preserve their anonymity.
Yes.
So why don't we just get right into it?
Let's do it. Right into it after we spend 10 minutes talking about your painful fart.
All right, I got a good one right off the bat. This one is from a male who I'll call Pepto-Bismol.
Nice. All right.
Pepto-Bismol writes, I'll shorten this down, but because I tend to ramble, I'm an English uni student who just got out of a long-term, long-distance relationship a couple months ago. I figure as next year is my master's/last year of uni, Once and for all, I'm finally okay and comfortable with being me. It's time to embrace being single. So I'm taking a trip to Toronto solo this August for 2 weeks. What's the best way to quickly go from... What's the best way to quickly go from chats to dates when I'm visiting... Did I miss a line?
It didn't sound like it. This is going to be interesting. How do we cut around this in a video, dude?
I don't think so. All right. It's not. It's I didn't miss a line. But he's talking about using Tinder.
Yeah.
How do I... What's the best way to quickly go from chats to dates when visiting a brand new place on Tinder? The subject says Tinder, but the email did not.
Cool. Yeah.
So
We got it.
He's right. Visiting Toronto for 2 weeks. And he's wondering if he swipes on Tinder, what's the quickest? How do you go from like talking to dating a girl if you're only there for a short amount of time?
Very, all right. This is, did you pick this question because we often have to do this when we're on tour?
Yeah. I mean, it just rings true a little bit.
Yeah. We've done it before.
Yeah. And the deal is that it will fail most often, more often than not.
Yeah. Maybe. But. Yeah. Well, sure, fine, yeah. That, but that's like dating apps in general. Yeah,
right.
That's nothing like unique to Toronto or whatever.
Right.
I just think you have at least a higher success rate to getting responded to, because the initial question is like, hey, I'm here only for a week. Like, I need a list of things to do. I need like a great place to go to dinner. Where do people go dancing? That
right.
type of thing. And people are way more eager to share like their recommendations to the city that they live in than they are to answer just like you, if you say, hey, what up?
Right. Or like, hey, we should go on a date sometime.
Right.
And if it doesn't go well, then I'll see you every day because I also live here.
Right.
But if you open it up with something like, hey, I'm only in town for a short amount of time, what should I do?
Yeah.
Then they're talking about the most exciting parts of their city.
And they're talking about their favorite restaurants, their favorite bars. So it's pretty logical to suggest like, are you going to be there or something?
And right.
like, you know, then you get that little date, and then you get the, like a little personal tour guide, then you get a city girlfriend. Nothing's better than a city girlfriend.
What's a city girlfriend?
You just have like a girlfriend for like 5 or 6 days.
Oh, I
like,
see
all the benefits of being in a relationship, like the camaraderie, the sex, the flirtation, and then like none of the downside, because you're not going to get into like a major fight or have to meet her family. Or...
Yeah, that'd be funny if that happened within the first 2 weeks.
Okay, you're going to need to meet my grandfather.
What?
Yeah, he's actually really sick.
I just wanted to see the CN Tower or maybe go to another revolving restaurant.
No. My grandfather's in hospice and we have to visit him.
That's your recommendation for a cool nightclub in the city?
A nice meal.
I said
they feed them well in hospice. They really do.
Jesus Christ, this is so much. So soon. Let's do it. I want to know where it goes.
And then you're in another long-distance relationship.
Yeah, that's another thing that I've heard of. Like, I actually just heard this. A lady visiting a city matched with a dude, hung out with him while she was there, was a city girlfriend.
Mm.
And then she left. They kept talking. And now she moved to that city for
what?
Him. Yeah. It was a friend of a friend of ours.
Do I know her?
You don't know the girl, but it, yeah.
That's Jesus Christ. That's
when a city girlfriend turns into a country girlfriend. She's your girlfriend for the entire country. That way you can only cheat on her like in Canada or Mexico.
Dude. Very chill.
Yeah, and then eventually you have a continent girlfriend.
Wasn't the rule like when you were younger, I remember in high school, people like a different zip code.
Yeah.
Like zip codes are pretty easy to leave.
Yeah.
Isn't a zip code just like your 10 block radius?
Yeah, especially if you go down to like the next four numerals, like you can be like 90069 dash these four.
Yeah.
It's like a very specific
That's
street.
Just your block.
Yeah.
Maybe
you can cheat on
area code, but even still, it's easy to get to there too.
You can cheat on a girl as long as it's out of your house.
You can always cheat on somebody. It's legal. It's just really frowned upon by everybody and cried upon by some.
It's actually cried upon by a few.
It's so frowned upon, you cry upon it.
It's angered upon. What's another face you can make?
Aghast upon?
Yeah. Well, that's not a face, is it?
Yeah. This
like
is
a frown. Yeah. Shocked upon?
Yeah. Shocked and awed upon.
And I am upon in this game that you call love. So what do you do? when you are in a new city, you, one, feel free to swipe away as long as you, I think with Tinder Pro now, you can swipe in a city you're not even in yet.
That's cool. And also, I did this when I went to Iceland. I joined OkCupid in Reykjavik.
Oh, yeah, like because that with that site, you can join before you actually get there.
There are definitely some sites where you can set your zip code to wherever. It didn't work out that well, but maybe because there weren't a lot of people on OkCupid in Iceland, there might be more in Toronto.
Right.
It's worth a shot.
That is a good tip, too.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to embrace being single, and I do say congrats on the end of your relationship. Go for it. Get on every app.
And then just ask for, you don't even have to ask her out first. You just ask for recommendations. That'll invariably get her excited.
Because there's nothing hotter than like not fiending, you know? If you're just going to be like, oh yeah, I'm going to these clubs, I'm going to these bars, thanks for the recs. She's like, I might be there too.
Right. Here's the wrinkle that we've never had to deal with. I'm taking a trip to Toronto solo.
Yeah.
So he's by himself.
We also get the benefit of being in there like, why are you in town? Like, oh, we're doing some shows.
Yeah.
Oh, shows.
That's intriguing.
Yeah. So, you know, we're famous comedians. So it's going to be a little tougher. But he does have an English accent.
Oh, because he's British.
Yeah.
So then suddenly the tables are switched once again.
He's basically going to, he can get way more pussy than we can.
So even if you're solo, you can still ask for where to go, what to do.
If you're solo dolo, you can still ask where to go low. Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
But it is like, I think there's something intriguing about saying, by the way, like, you know, I don't know how to mention it. Well, I mean, I do, but you can figure out your own way to mention it organically that you're there by yourself. That's a little intriguing. It's a little cool.
Yeah. Like, why are you here? What brings you here? Why are you in town? What kind of stuff do you want to do? Oh, I'm on a self-adventure journey. I'm realizing who I actually am because I just got out of a relationship.
I have another boyfriend, so don't talk to me anymore.
It's just that I'm sort of doing this eat, pray, love shit right now, and I'm starting in Toronto and I'm ending in Calgary.
Eating Pizza Hut in the mall.
Just swiping away at a Panda Express.
Traveling alone is very it's weird because it's like there are these peaks and valleys of like, I remember driving across the country like by myself. It was like, you know, wide open road, like hiking in Arches National Park and being like, this is amazing. This is like, I'm finding myself. I'm so empowered. And then also just like jerking off in a Holiday Inn in Alabama, and you're like, okay, this is actually the loneliest I think I've ever been. I'm in Birmingham, coming into a tissue on this, and like you're always thinking like, what the fuck is wrong with me? I should just like go outside and go to a bar and try to meet a local. And I like, I remember on one of these trips, I went to a Hooters in like Amarillo, Texas, thinking like, I was going to walk in and some beautiful Hooters waitress was going to be like, you're driving across the country by yourself. Let me come. I want to get out of here too.
Got to go in the Hooters.
I was just like by myself, shoulders hunched, had a single Bud Light. There's like all these boisterous tables of dudes all around me. Like, what you doing at the bar, queer?
Shut up, dude. I'm actually swiping if you guys have any recommendations for local hotspots. Yeah. Did they have Tinder when you did the cross-country trip? I feel like that would have changed your game a little bit.
They did, but I don't think I was like spending enough time.
Yeah, it does take at least like a day to like match with someone.
I mean, it's hard to go from like match to date in like an hour or something.
Right.
But also, I think I was, actually that was when I was moving back to New York, so I wasn't on, there was no Tinder yet, or I at least wasn't on.
Right. You know what else sucks is the, let's say you're like going on a trip like that and you like match with someone in Alabama, but you're already in Texas and it's like someone really attractive. And you're like,
that was happening on our road trip.
See you again.
Cause like Tinder, I don't know what it's like now, but like at the time it was like the radius didn't really update a lot of the time.
Oh yeah.
So like I'd be swiping and then I'd match with someone cute and be like, why are you 1,000 miles away? And she's like, oh, I live in Nashville. Well, fuck.
I'm in New Orleans.
I'll let you know if I ever come to Nashville again.
By that time, you'll be engaged to somebody you should be hanging out with. Fuck Christ.
Not me.
Ass. All right. Good luck, dude.
Yeah, Godspeed.
Here's another question from another dude.
Okay.
We'll call him Calpectate, which is another medicine you should take when you're feeling not too good in your stomach area.
Nice.
Wait, you gave me Pepto-Bismol, but you said you've never had stomach pain.
Yeah, I did it like when I had, when you have diarrhea, you would take Pepto-Bismol, right?
Sure.
Or diarrhea.
Diarrhea. So I recently got invited to a birthday party and I don't really want to attend. The problem is that the host and all the guests are my girlfriend's friends. I know most of the guests and I know these people don't like me. The only reason I'm invited is because I'm with my girlfriend. I don't mind these people, but I know they don't want me there. I have no interest in ruining it or making the night awkward for anyone. It wouldn't be a problem if it was a bigger event, but this is a small meetup between fewer, closer friends. Even though, as I'm writing this, I'm beginning to feel like this might be the most insignificant question you've ever received, I still feel like an asshole slash jerk teenager for not wanting to go. My girlfriend is really nice, and I don't want to hurt her feelings. Skipping parties has only been an issue for me since I got someone who expects me to go with them. The party's in 2 weeks. I'm 17, and the host turns 18, if that helps. Do you have any good excuses I can use without hurting my girlfriend's feelings? Should I just go to this party anyways? Any advice on what I should do would be greatly appreciated. Thanks.
Okay, Calpectate?
Yeah.
I would say he should go to the party. He's got a very low opinion of himself and his girlfriend's friends.
It's so funny that he thinks none of them want him there.
There's a good chance that he just has social anxiety. Yeah. And your girlfriend's friends just like your girlfriend and don't really care that much about you.
Yeah.
So it's not that they don't like you. It's just that they don't know you and they don't care yet. But if you come to this party, maybe you'll be accepted. Maybe you'll gain some new friends, and that's a nice thing.
But would it would be funny if he was actually a nasty little boy that nobody wants to be there?
He sounds like it a little bit in this, but towards the end he got a little more self aware and he's like, I know I'm an asshole,
right?
So,
do you ever try to get out of parties? What excuse is a good excuse?
I try to get out of parties all the time, but I think I usually just don't show up, and then I text or something later that like something came up.
Oh yeah.
I don't ever have somebody that's like really needs like somebody that's like, you have to come to this party, and then I have to tell them that I don't want to go.
Right.
There's not really a good excuse.
A good rule of thumb for parties is that most of the time people don't really expect or care for you to come.
Yeah.
This one is, it seems like this is just, it's not the party thing, it's the whether you should do your girlfriend a favor thing.
Right.
Because it's weird to be like, I don't want to go to this party with you and your friends.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So
your friends hate me and I hate your friends. This is the worst, it's one of the worst, most annoying problems to deal with in a relationship. Like, it's also like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, your friends hate me, so like you're going to be a miserable asshole at the party, and then they do hate you.
Because you're a miserable asshole.
Yeah, and you make your girlfriend upset because you're really sour at the party.
Yeah.
So just go to the party and try to be nice to your girlfriend. That's really all that matters. And make one friend at the party, just one person you could talk to.
Break up with your girlfriend.
That's not good advice.
No, you should probably just go. I mean, there are worse things than going to a party. At worst, it's just one night of your life.
Yeah.
I like that he says, I'm 17 and the host is turning 18. Trying to like hope that we'd be like, whoa, that's a little weird. You shouldn't go to the party.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much the most normal two ages you can be about a birthday party.
Well, also, and especially like having this anxiety, it makes a lot of sense that he's only 17.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because he's, having teenage issues.
Yeah, I definitely, at this point, I know that nobody really notices me at a party. So you just got to go. Don't think about the party, think about your relationship. And it's going to be way more of a stress to break annoy your girlfriend and get into this fight and have this be a rift. Just try to get over it.
Get over it. Is that good advice? To get over it?
Yes. Well, not all the time. But I think in this case, get over it.
All right, get over it. Let's take a break, and we'll be back with more right after this commercial.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. It's
right.
They have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace.
Yes.
That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like,
interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's it's an anti-movement, really.
Oh,
it's a non-movement
good.
Movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems
I'll
like
have
it should
to
be.
Check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Antimovement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't. But
so it's fitness nah. Fitnessnah.com.
Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low, low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace.
Heck yeah.
Yes, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we back?
We're back.
This is it?
We're back.
Are we back for camera? Everything is good.
Yes, dude.
Holy shit.
Okay.
Recording this on a Wednesday, out on a Thursday, bonus episode. Still before we go to Austin for South by Southwest.
That is correct.
Our individual show is sold out.
Yeah. Pound that shit, dude.
Thanks, bro.
Really appreciate that.
We do have two other HeadGum shows that we will be at. If you didn't get your tickets to our show, or if you want to just extend the party.
You really should. Cause that's why we called it HeadGumapalooza.
We didn't actually call it that.
I've been calling it HeadGumapalooza.
To who?
Everybody.
Because
hashtag HeadGumapalooza. You are very delicate handing me, and I feel like you just, oh, okay, fingers falling off. That is a severe case of food poisoning. You turned into leprosy.
Yeah.
But it is, like, I think it's going to be like two full days of fun. I think everybody should come.
Yeah. So if you haven't got your tickets yet to our show or any other show, that email, that URL is ifiwereyoushow.com. We'll have everything.
Yeah, because if you like us, you might like Josh. You might like This Is Why You're Single. You might like Gabrus, the high and mighty man himself.
Yeah.
The Black Man Can't Jump. She Didn't Text Back. Kevin T. Porter.
And it's more than just a show. It'll be like a gathering, a get-together of...
Would you call it a Headgumapalooza?
I wouldn't do that just because of legality.
Oh, how about Gumstock?
That's really good.
You like Gumstock?
Yeah. I like it as...
You're going to want to tell your kids in a couple of years that you were at Gumstock.
The original.
The original Gumstock.
Do you remember the original Gumstock?
Yeah, dude. People fucking in the mud. Yeah. That's what's going to be happening.
Mudfuckers. So check it out. And if you don't live in Texas or near Texas, I guess you can come see us in Boston, Washington, D.C., Brooklyn, or New Haven.
New Haven. Pistol waving. That's what's up. The 203 is the A. Yale, New Haven.
We're doing our best to make that the most popular show. And it's doing pretty well. It's selling pretty well for a smaller city.
Yeah.
For a little shit town. For a little shit town.
You're a shit town, dude. You're born and raised in Afula. It's...
No, I wasn't.
Where were you born?
I was born in Afula, but I was raised in Los Angeles.
Raised. Trust me, your parents raised you when you were 1 and 2, dude. They're actually raising you pretty damn good.
No, I feel like you've switched gears. Now you're just like berating me for not respecting my parents.
Whatever shames you into calling it Headstock or Gumstock or whatever the fuck I said.
Gumapalooza.
Also, can I mention this table finally?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's really nice. Get a little sweep of the table here. Thank you, Marissa.
This is perfect
now,
for everybody
guys,
listening.
I want everyone to know, the table's shown up in some Instagram photos, I think.
This table has turned, actually.
The table is turned, yeah. You guys, we were gifted a table, and I said I was going to give this guy a free commercial on HeadGum, and I never did. So here I am doing it now, because I finally remembered. Wildland Creations made this live wood table for us.
And it's an Instagram account or a website?
It's a website. It's an Instagram. It's got everything. He finds trees in the woods that have already fallen down. That's how sustainable this operation is. And then he makes these gorgeous live wood coffee tables and stands. And I actually think it's one of my favorite pieces of the entire studio.
But I can see there's chainsaw marks from where he must have... God, yeah. There's 50 yeah. trees in this thing that
and
he just mowed
how
down.
How many tiny hands went into carving this? Like, a man's hand couldn't fit into there to get the varnish on.
No
there.
Way.
You know he's employing child labor.
This is what he wanted, right?
Yeah, look. Oh, at the bottom. Look, Timmy, age 6.
What send the fuck? Help. No, this is great. It looks great. It is great.
It feels great. You're
thoroughly
great.
Appreciate it.
All right, that's all. Thank you.
What was I going to say? Shoot. There's not a lot of time to think when you're being recorded. On camera and microphone.
Yeah, usually we can just like take a second. Breathe.
In life, you can be like, hold on, let me think. And then 2 minutes of silence is fine.
Mm-hmm. Because you can edit it.
Yeah, life is 90 years long. And this podcast is only like 45 minutes. So every second is pressure.
Okay. Talk to me more about life.
It's just that if every minute was as important as every second on this podcast, that would really make sure that, you know how you live every day like it's your last?
Live in the moment, yeah.
Exactly, which I do in a fetal position, crying in bed.
Of course.
I want to treat every
episode.
Farting
very, very violently.
Actually, the Pepto-Bismol you gave me did work.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. God. What? Oh, we have a new podcast on HeadGum. That's what it was.
Oh, Caldwell's.
Caldwell and Nathan.
Yeah. Are we on the first episode?
We're not on the first episode, but we are upcoming.
Wow, shots fired.
The podcast is called What Should We Draw? They basically talk about drawing something, and then you can see what ended up being drawn.
What they drew.
At whatshouldwedraw.com.
And people who followed us from College Humor should probably most definitely know who Caldwell and Nathan are. At the very least, they've seen a ton of Caldwell and Nathan's comics, which have been all over College Humor for a very long time.
It's basically the signature look of College Humor. And if you go to whatshouldwedraw.com, you can listen to the episodes where they discuss what they should draw, and then you can see ultimately what they drew. I don't know if it's fun, if it's better to look at the photo and be like, how did they get there? Or if they should listen to the episode and then check out the photo at the end. Either it's up way. To you. Dealer's choice.
Really, truly.
What should we draw new on the HeadGum Network? All right, let's try to answer some more questions.
Okay, back into it.
This is from a girl.
What's another medicine that you are taking?
Ginger ale.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that a good stripper name?
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Or like if you have like a red beard, kind of like I do, and your name is Dale, Ginger Dale. Oh, come on, dude. Hey. Hey, talk to me, man. Talk to Ginger Dale.
Why do you have to have a red beard and not just red head?
You could do that too.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to make myself Ginger Dale.
Yeah. You just want
to
be.
Fuck the pinch. Fuck Vance. Fuck Josh. I am now Ginger Dale.
The worst nickname. The worst nickname.
Don't you talk to Ginger Dale that way. Ginger Dale is very easily offended.
Ginger Dale.
You scoff and you mock Ginger Dale.
There's got to be a Dale out there who's a redhead. And there's, I hope to God people
there's
call
a whole
Ginger
family
Dale.
Of us Ginger Dales.
Ginger Dale Senior. And then me. That's it. The whole family of just two people. All right. Ginger Ale writes, a bit of a tale for you. It's an odyssey of beards, mixed signals, and I could seriously use some straight male insight.
Okay.
Are you guys ready to hear this little story?
Yeah.
2 years ago, I met a big, bearded bear of a man. He's the lead singer of a moderately successful Canadian rock band. All 70s revival, fringe, and flares, very sexy. We had a drunken hookup that first night we met. But as soon as he didn't have a condom, we didn't have sex.
Good on you.
He got my number the next morning, saying that I was the sweetest peach. How nice. We kept relatively close touch, and 6 months later, he had another show in my home city of Vancouver, Canada, baby. He literally flew in 3 days earlier to spend time with me. Wow. Stayed at my house and everything. And you know what? He wouldn't have sex with me. He never even rounded first base. After I pressed him for reasons, he cited fear of commitment, respecting me too much, and another girl from home that he's hung up on. We stayed friends, and over the next 6 months, saw each other when we were in the same cities and had lovely hangouts. Despite being friends, his flirtations never stopped. Fast forward to last Thursday, he plays a show in Vancouver, texted me, and put me on the guest list. We hung out after the show, and he was very attentive, lovely, flirty, affectionate, and he kissed me and asked if he could sleep over. Then, no sex, but lovely snuggling, explaining again that he was afraid of commitment, that he thinks too much of me to sleep with me. I fell asleep with him lovingly stroking my face. He took me to brunch the next morning, the whole shebang. Then Friday, he had a second show, put me on the guest list again, got me backstage afterwards. This is where shit gets weird. He brought these two women backstage as well, both about 30 to 35, quite heavy and not cute. To clarify, I'm 25, pretty petite, and dare I say, pretty cute.
Okay.
After a while, he disappeared with one of the big girls. I waited. The next dressing room over finally opens an hour later, and she and him are adjusting their clothes as they exit. He fucked her while I was there, and the day after, all confusing but cute reestablishing of confection. Sorry. He fucked her while I was there. The day after, all the confusing but cute reestablishing of affection. I, of course, confronted this twat, and he basically looked sad for a second, then switched to defensive and said, look, I honestly think of you just a platonic friend, Ginger Ale. I'm not sexually attracted to you. And then he gestured for me to leave. We haven't spoken since. What the hell is with the mixed signals? What the hell is with the affection and loveliness one second, then banging this gross lady while I'm there the next? Hate to take it out on the lady, but seriously, she's like 300 pounds. Would very much appreciate the If I Were You insight on this. Thanks. Love, Ginger Ale.
All right. There's a lot to unpack here.
It's a story.
Yeah. I do think she should not be the lady that he had sex with did nothing wrong. She did what this girl wanted to do.
Right.
So let's not hate on her her age or her weight.
Yeah.
She got fucked by the guy you were trying to get fucked by. So I get why you're mad.
Right.
That being said, it's not her fault. Sounds like it's his fault. And also, to me, it kind of sounds like you don't have a lot of claim on this dude.
Because he was the one who was constantly saying, no, no, no.
Yeah, I mean, every time she tried to advance anything, he didn't accept the advance.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a little confusing that they, like, slept in the same bed and he touched your face. And there are definitely some mixed signals. But I don't think there are enough signals to feel like she had any real stake. And, like, anybody that has sex with him is, like, coming into her territory.
Right. The problem is, this doesn't ring true with me and maybe with you. Like, if we are putting in so much effort, it's to be sexual with somebody. Yeah. So it's a little weird that, like, he went through the effort of the reaching out and guest list and this, that, and sleeping over and then being like, no. Right. That being said, there's a lot of guys out there that are kind of different. Like, some that just want platonic affection. I know a lot of guys are like, I just want to cuddle. I don't want to sleep. I just want to, like, feel like I'm a boyfriend, but I don't necessarily want to get attached physically.
Right. So, I don't think of sex like that.
Right.
I mean, this guy seems like he's himself a little strange, but I think that, like, sometimes people that have a lot of sex, like probably a hot lead singer of a band, they're more intrigued by something like very different, like an older woman or something like that versus, I mean, how many cute 25-year-olds has this guy already had sex with?
So he's like, now let's switch it up.
Yeah, I know this guy that we grew up with. It's like one of the hottest dudes I've ever seen. And he was like...
Inside and out.
Yeah. Well, he was having so much sex that he stopped being attracted to people he would normally be attracted to. And he started having sex with, like, really strange-looking people because, like, it was that kind of, like, fetish that got him off. Like,
wow.
Yeah. So that's kind of interesting. Maybe that's what this guy's experiencing. But not that I want to comment on the ugliness of this 35-year-old lady he boned. But
we should talk to that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to interview this dude and be like...
He's like a Ryan Gosling meets Mother Teresa type / Robin Hood who fucks from the rich and gives to the poor.
Fucks, I think it's like...
Friar Tuck? No, Trier Fuck.
Right.
Yeah.
He fucks from the dick and gives to the whore. I don't know if I like it, but it is a good rhyme.
So I'll allow it nonetheless. This story of hooking up in front of somebody that you invited over reminded me of a story that you have. Because it happened to you. Because you were the guy...
I am ashamed.
Where you... where I'll just... paraphrase and not let you clarify.
Fair.
But you made out with another girl while on a date with somebody else.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Okay, I thought you were moving on from the story. Like, I don't get to...
No, I was just joking. Why did that happen? Like, that girl could have emailed in and be like, what is that about?
I will say, like, definitely in my heyday of being a douchebag, slimeball asshole, you know, sorry, excuse for a man. There have been many people who I've confused in the same way.
Yeah, mixed, like, signals.
Let on, even like slept with, like been on, and then like invite them to a party or they come out to a bar and they watch me leave with somebody else.
Right.
That has happened plenty of times.
Is it because you invite lots of people out and then you'll just choose the, like, a Cupid, like, yeah, whoever's, I think, closest to you?
I always just thought that, like, oh, everybody's having fun. We're all hanging out. Like, it doesn't matter who I've slept with. Like, everybody's sleeping with everybody. And, like, oh, this person is giving me attention and I want to sleep with this person. So no hard feelings. But that's that's just me projecting the way I feel about everything onto everybody. And it wasn't me being very empathetic because many people have sex and kind of feel like...
it's a bigger deal than a handshake.
Yeah. That said, the most egregious thing I ever did was... take somebody out on a date, and while they were in the bathroom, I started making out with somebody else. And then that person just tapped me on the shoulder, and I looked up like I was gonna, like I was surprised. And she said, bye. And that was it. That was that.
You know what the problem is? People constantly preach the golden rule: treat others as you would like to be treated yourself.
Right.
The problem is when you don't respect yourself, suddenly that rule gets twisted.
That was one of the most dangerous things that I was doing to myself, is I thought I was a monster and I was amused by it because I hated myself so much. I'm like, oh, Jake, you scoundrel, you piece of shit, you dirty dog. And I kind of like, and I owned it in a way that wasn't good. Like, when you're that much of a monster, you should have a little bit of, what is the word? Like,
empathy?
Yeah, well, I should have had more empathy, but like, I should have also taken it a little less lightly and been like, hey, people actually really hate you. Like, that girl that I invited out on a date, you know, it's a funny story for me. And it's like a horrible story for her.
Right. What a slap in the face.
Yeah. I got like a funny story and I made out with somebody and like, you know, she got very hurt by that.
She got emotionally pranked.
That confuses somebody. If a girl invited me out and then I went to the bathroom and she was making out with somebody.
What would you do?
I guess, well, to be honest, I would probably laugh pretty hard.
See, that's the problem.
Yeah, I guess so.
People don't care, so you just assume other people don't care.
And that's the thing about empathy, of like understanding what was her night, right? Like, she probably didn't get drunk before our date like I did. She probably came home from work. Maybe she was even looking forward to the date all day. Maybe she like spent some time like primping herself and making herself look pretty. And who knows what's going on with her family or her job or her past relationships, like the billions of experiences she had leading up to this moment where I, rather than appreciate her and be attentive to her, just was like scanning the room for anybody else to fuck if I didn't think I might fuck her that night.
Right.
So maybe
you could have
fucked
her. You could have hooked up with her.
Yeah, there's a possibility that like I could have, if I was more open, kissed her, dated her, married her, had a kid with her. Maybe that kid grows up to be the next president of the United States of America. That's a pretty cool thing.
And you threw it all away.
Yeah.
For some drunken makeout set.
Actually ended up marrying that girl.
Yeah, and that kid is the president.
that kid is Ted Cruz.
Is Donald J. Trump.
Oh, Christ.
You have to start preparing yourself for a world where Donald Trump is our president. You get that, right? It's not a long shot anymore.
I'm looking at property in Sydney. Do you trust me?
That's what they want. They want the liberals to leave. But what happens, you know, when Trump becomes president, I'm buying property in America because this is my country.
Trump Tower.
58th floor, Upper West Side.
You're caucusing for Trump. You were in Nevada last night.
I'm caucusing. I'm canvassing. I'm all of it. I'm all in.
Will you caucus for me? Will you caucus for me?
I was going to say that for that lady that you're talking about, the billions of experiences, whether she liked it or not, at one point in time, everything that she did in her life led her up to that one moment. So for that one moment, that was the climax of her life. Like, everything is leading up to right now.
Yeah, this is the sum of everything.
Yeah.
And there's something empowering about that. That being like rock bottom. Like, okay. Let's be a little more scrutinizing about who I go out with.
And then just in your another one of your accolades of how good you are at text messages, that wasn't the last time you saw that girl.
We did have a follow-up.
Yeah.
And if anybody's experienced this and needs some help, Text Jake is closed.
Yeah.
But I dug myself out of that hole, and it was some expert texting.
Yeah.
Expert text.
That should have been the testimonial on textjake.com.
Yeah.
I guess if you purchase the text, you can still redeem them.
That's true.
Now's your time. All right, cool. That's it. That's our show. Thanks for listening. If you're watching one day on the YouTubes, thanks for watching. If you have a question for us or a theme song submission, everything is going to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com.
By the way, did we ever answer this girl's question, really?
I think we explained what the mixed signals were.
That, like, it didn't mean as much to the guy as it meant to her.
Yeah.
It's practicing empathy. And I do feel sorry for this girl. And what's her name?
Ginger Ale.
Yeah.
Just
don't go for guys like that in general. The confusing guys that are having too much sex.
Yeah, and musicians and artists are kind of conflicted and like that. They travel. They, like, are emotional. They're not... this girl probably needs somebody a little bit more dependable than a guy who comes every 6 months, sleeps over her house, strokes her face, and then bones somebody else in her
presence.
Being
said, if that is your relationship and you like that, then I think you just take the ups with the downs, and like you like seeing him and spending time with him, and he's you know, he's going to be confusing and weird and have sex with other people, but you can't, you're enjoying it, then go with it.
Take the good with the bad, as you said. Cool. The opening theme song was written by, Dan.
Ginger Dale?
Dan,
did I write that one?
Dan Roffey. And this closing one is written by David White, back on Monday next week, as usual. And again, we'll be in Austin, Boston, D.C., Brooklyn.
New Haven. Don't forget New Haven.
New Haven.
Everybody else does.
All the tickets and all the information at ifiwereyoushow.com. See you later, everybody.
You're what up, you're listening to a podcast called If I Were You, with Amir and Jake in the house dishing advice that's kind of cruel, but hey, at least it's free, and your anonymity will be preserved safely behind a name they heard on TV. At least I think it was on TV. I'm not entirely sure. They must watch a lot of TV. I don't know half their fucking names. So what are you waiting for? Turn your computer on. Send that shit to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. And tune in every Monday. Yeah, yeah.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.